WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
What's next for electric vehicles? I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Electric cars and trucks have started to catch on in the U.S., but their future, well, it's still uncertain. The new administration is no big fan, and President Trump is putting the brakes on more EV charging stations across the country. But here in Illinois, the state is investing in EVs. We checked in with Reset sustainability contributor Karen Weigert and Danny Robles from the Illinois Environmental Council about what the future might hold for electric vehicles. I started with this question.
When people talk about wanting electric vehicles, one of the biggest concerns, besides the price, is where to charge it, especially on long distance trips, right? It's definitely come to mind for me. I'm not an EV driver, but that's the thing holding me back. I'm like, but are there enough? You know, when I want to do my cross country road trips. So how big of a deal is it that now President Trump is putting the brakes on things? He's halting funding for more charging stations.
Yeah, absolutely. It's without a doubt a challenge, but it's not the only part of the picture.
Yeah.
And so when you think about your example of you want to know how you're going to take your longer trip, publicly funded infrastructure is one of the ways you would find a charging station. There's also privately funded infrastructure that is publicly available. In fact, many of the auto companies have banded together and have their own plan to build infrastructure to build charging that'll be across the country. And that's companies like General Motors, Toyota. They've actually created their own group. So There will be more charging infrastructure. But certainly, as you're thinking about making that choice, you mentioned price. That's a factor. You mentioned where do you charge. That can absolutely be a barrier. And so this could have a bit of a chilling effect, but it's not the only way you'll be able to find charging.
Yeah. To that end, Danny, I mean, there are currently just over 4,000 active public charging ports here in our state. I think I know the answer here, but that's not enough, is it?
No. We definitely need a lot more to just meet the demand of people. I think the news that we're hearing of President Trump repealing, you know, the national electric vehicle infrastructure money or the charging fueling infrastructure money, you know, the state was really needing a lot of that funds to make sure that we had charging infrastructure, especially in places downstate where, you know, we might not have as much availability on the highways. Part of the money that was directed from these grants were meant for low-income communities. So 50% of the charging fueling infrastructure funding was meant for those low-income communities to make sure that, you know, we are building equity to the future of electrification.
Yeah, tell us more about things happening on the state level, because Governor Pritzker has pledged state resources to fund the expansion of charging stations. I know we had last year, we heard of a number that, you know, he wanted to hit by the end of the year. Fill us in on what's happening right now, state level, to promote the expansion.
Yeah, I mean, Governor Pritzker, you know, he definitely has the goal of 1 million EVs by 2030. And, you know, we're looking at what we can do here at the state level. You know, although we did take a pretty heavy hit with the federal funding, you know, we that have a lot of movement here. So, for example, during the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act, the state directed our public utilities to build up beneficial electrification plans. And, you know, we're seeing some of those pieces also come to light with some of their own incentives. So, you know, I think last week, ComEd announced that they had a funding incentive of about $100 million for public and private infrastructure for charging networks. So, you know, the energy's still here in the state. We're definitely still looking to move towards electrification, just knowing that it's heavily needed to make sure that we are curbing our carbon emissions in the transportation sector.
And Danny, transitioning cars and trucks to electric, it's a big part of our state also reaching the climate goals that were set out in CEJA, or the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act. Just give us the specifics there.
Yeah. So the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act, you know, the big goal is reducing our energy consumption of coal and transitioning it to 100% renewable by 2050, mm-hmm. And building out a lot of jobs in the process. Right?
And there are health impacts too, right?
Yeah, huge health impacts. So knowing that, you know, coal, fossil fuel, and all those sources of energy produce a lot of pollutants is a huge concern for a lot of communities. So especially with heavy duty trucks and medium duty trucks, we know that those tend to have pollutants like nitrogen oxides and particulate matter that affect people's cardiovascular and pulmonary health. So, and knowing that a lot of the major arteries for those heavy duty vehicles are in communities of color, that those are big risks that we're seeing. And one of the reasons why, you know, we've put a lot of energy to
that focus on low income communities that you mentioned earlier too. Yeah. And so Karen, make this make sense. How does what's happening then at the federal level affect the equitable transition to electric? And when we're talking about equitable here, give us some context.
Sure. I think as we started this conversation talking about the infrastructure story about charging, and one of the things that was in this piece, the specific piece, it's NEVI. It's the National Electrification the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure. And the goal was to fill gaps. And so that's really why there's a serious equity question is, places where the economics work to have charging, you have charging. So there is infrastructure. The fact that we have hundreds of thousands of electric vehicles on the road and nationally, you know, over 112,000, I think, just in northern Illinois. So majority of this of Illinois' electric vehicles are here. There's more charging infrastructure. And so the real gap here is that how do you fill it in a rural area where there might not be the economics that support charging?
Right.
And so this is the challenge, is there are places in every state that don't have access to infrastructure the way other areas might. And so this is the funding that would have helped address that. And so every state had the opportunity to create a plan to see how they could fill in these gaps so that there really would be equity in the infrastructure that then is there as people start to see more price parity and more incentives or more rebates to actually mm-hmm. buy the electric vehicle.
And while all this cutting and freezing is going on, we've got the Chicago Auto Show in the spotlight right now. Yesterday, we caught up with Jennifer Morand, who's the GM of the Chicago Auto Show. And here's what she had to say about the demand of EVs.
It's estimated that 20 new EVs are going to come to market just this year. We're seeing a huge uptick in adoption of EVs. It's not maybe as fast as the previous administration was hoping for, and this new administration, as you know, has kind of pulled back a little bit. You know, the mandates aren't there as aggressive as the previous administration. But that said, we are still seeing adoption, and it's estimated that one out of four vehicles purchased in this next year, 2025, will be electrified.
So, Karen, sales of all electric and hybrid vehicles reached 20% of all new car and truck sales in the U.S. last year, which happened for the first time, but the numbers weren't quite as high as what was expected. What do you make of that?
Yet the growth the year before was huge.
Yeah.
And the growth is still there. So the numbers are still going up. They didn't go up quite as fast as they had previously. And there are lots of things that can jump into that. One is that the early adopters bought their vehicles. You know, so that's really one of the questions. When are people buying and who's really interested and did they already have that chance? And then there are, you know, broader questions about, you know, the vehicles that are available. Are people seeing the one? Now that there's so much supply, people are waiting for the vehicle that they might want. Mm-hmm. And that's a benefit of the story that we have here, which is that you now have every major automaker producing electric vehicles. But we'll also have to see, you know, what are those carrots and sticks as we look forward? The word mandate has been used a lot. There really was never a mandate, but President Biden certainly had a goal of 50% of all vehicles being electric by 2030. That goal is now gone at the federal level. And so what we're going to have to watch are what are the different policies and programs that could support a growth phase or a slower growth phase. And we're in the middle of trying to see where all these directions are going to take us.
Well, Danny, Jennifer Moran said that car manufacturers are interested in having electric options for individual consumers. This isn't quite the same for electric trucks or buses, is it?
No, for electric buses, we or you know those heavy duty vehicles, we know that
are challenges, right, to transitioning to electric fleets.
100%. A lot of that is knowing the range of the vehicle needs. We know that you know for some of the fleets that you know operate within a city range, those are easier to transition. So thinking about your school bus fleets, your public transit fleets, delivery vans, those are a little easier, and we have seen an increase in those sales. But the heavy duty ones, like your cross country trucks, those are a lot harder to electrify, and we're looking at different options to help reduce carbon emissions from those sorts of vehicles. But you know, I think the goal here is that we don't want a mandate to just fully transition. We want to give the consumers options, whether those are public or private consumers.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that they have the option to make what makes most sense for their business.
Friday, Karen, Illinois announced a new round of incentives. So Illinoisans can get $4,000 for buying an EV. Of course, the idea here is to encourage more folks to go ahead, you know, just do what the so-called early adopters did and just go ahead and just outright purchase an electric vehicle. But we know Trump has said that he would try to end these rebates, as we discussed. How long would that take? And I should probably ask you the same thing I've been asking folks as we've been unpacking Trump's policies here. Can he do that?
I appreciate the last question, because as we look at the financial support for electric vehicles, you have to look at the underlying funding for each piece. And here in Illinois, there's the legislation that Danny referenced earlier, the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act. And so there is funding from the state, essentially from all ratepayers or really taxpayers here in the state, that can support these specific incentives. So the state can offer incentives that can be different from what the federal government offers. And there's a clear line. The president doesn't really have the ability to come in and change what the state has decided.
Okay.
And so these $4,000 that are available for electric vehicles, those are funded by the state. It also includes, by the way, $1,500 for a motorcycle. So,
okay.
You know, so those funds are available. They are available in Illinois. And there's a whole different story about the federal tax incentives and what might happen there.
I see. So, Danny, there are reports from the climate news outlet Heatmap that some early birds who already filed their taxes and they were expecting to get a rebate for buying an EV, they haven't received it because the dealership didn't fill out the necessary paperwork. Can you quickly clarify what's going on there?
Yes. So over the last couple of years, the way that people were able to get their tax incentives has switched. Back in 2023, the dealers had the option to submit the paperwork at the end of the year. So by January 15 of 2024, there was a switch in the last year where the dealers now have to submit it within 3 days of purchase. So it's eligible for that tax incentive. There's been a bit of concern throughout the country that a lot of the dealers weren't educated on this switch, and they have actually harmed a lot of people who,
yikes,
you know, bought their vehicles with the intention that they were going to get this tax incentive. And, you know, I think some of the concerns that we're seeing right now is it's the U.S. Treasury that's going to have to resolve this issue. And, you know, the U.S. Treasury is now under new administration, and we're concerned that they're not going to be able to move that. So, you know, if anyone bought a EV last year, I would double check with your dealer to make sure that, you know, they had documented that into the database. Otherwise, you know, we might not see
those. Might be out of luck.
Yeah.
Okay, leave us with this, Karen. We know California's got some of the strictest fuel efficiency standards in the country, exceeding the federal standard. The state's economy is also the fifth largest in the world, which poses quite an incentive for automakers to continue making cars to try and meet those standards. So do you anticipate that continuing, or are there ways that Trump could roll that back in favor of gas cars?
The ability of California to set its own rules is something that this new administration is definitely looking at. And so we're going to have to watch this one. And California, as you mentioned, it's a huge market for automakers. The standards that California sets, not only are they a market in and of itself, so that attracts automakers to reach them, They also set rules that other states copy almost exactly. And so where California goes, you'll have, you know, a dozen and a half states also follow. So this is one to watch. It's an example of us seeing how far the president's new goals will go, and whether or not he can actually change what this state has done. And they've typically been a leader in setting those standards that lead to climate implications, job implications, but fundamentally lead to choices on vehicles for their consumers.
Well, give me a yes or no on this. Do you think Trump's overall environmental policies will set the electric car industry back? Yes or no, Danny?
Yes, but slightly. I think it's still moving forward.
Karen?
I'm going with it's going to slow it. You have investments in factories last for decades, so this administration lasts for 4 years.
Good point. That's Reset Sustainability contributor Karen Weigert and Danny Robles, legislative director at the Illinois Environmental Council. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Dan Tucker, and mixed by Linnea. To stay in the know on environmental news and more, subscribe wherever you listen or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.